I should say at the beginning that this is a homily that I delivered at the Sunday Mass at 5 p.m. So if you were there, this is a repeat for you, and I'm sorry about that, but it's an important message, and I need to deliver it at all the Masses. So if you've heard it before, you can close your eyes silently and fervently pray for me, okay? Or you can meditate and see on how I've changed the homily between then and now. From the first reading today, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Since Corpus Christi in 2022, the USCCB has been leading the diocese across the United States in a national Eucharistic revival. Last week, as part of that revival, Holy Mother Church took great pains to remind us very powerfully that the Eucharist is indeed the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. She desires to make sure that this truth is etched on our hearts, our minds, our souls. Holy Mother Church wants this revival to be a personal one, starting with each one of us. So to repeat the question from the first reading, where are you? As disciples of Christ, we are called to grow in holiness, to grow in perfection, and to grow in Christ-likeness. St. Paul expressed it this way in his letter to the Philippians, "And I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Now, there is no doubt that God will do his part, will we do ours. As we cooperate with God's grace, it is God's will that we continue to grow in holiness. There are many ways that we can do this. Practice the spiritual and corporal works of mercy, pray the rosary, study the scriptures, meditate on God's word, study the lives of the saints, go to adoration, read good Catholic books. However, one of the most effective ways is to grow in holiness is frequent, worthy, and reverent reception of Holy Communion. Many of you know that I came into the church a little over 25 years ago. My entry into full communion came at the hands of Father Timlin at St. Joseph's in Anderson after meeting with him one-on-one for 6 months. I came into the church on September 8th, Mary's birthday, and the following day, on September 9th, I received Holy Communion, body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ for the very first time. It was a huge moment in my life. I received communion in my hand. I cannot recall Father Timlin talking to me about how to receive. I just followed the practice that I observed with almost everyone else in the parish. You might say that for me it was monkey see, monkey do. At seminary, both in Boston and in Houston, I continued to receive communion in the hand. I would say that only about 10 to 15% of the seminarians received communion on the tongue. As far as I can recall, we never received any training or instruction concerning receiving on the tongue or in the hand. We, of course, studied the documents of Vatican II and a whole lot more, but never specifically about the history of communion in the hand. So basically, with few exceptions, up until I became a priest, I always received communion in my hand. Over the past few years or so, I began studying the history of communion in the hand. In addition to several articles, my principal texts were Holy Communion in the Hand, Documents and History by the Most Reverend Juan Rodolfo Leys, an Argentinian bishop, The Eucharistic Storms, Communion in the Hand and Marginalizing the Real Presence by Barry Forbes, and Memorale Domine, an encyclical from Pope St. Paul VI, as well as Redemptioris Sacramentum from the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments. The more that I read and studied, the more I came to see that the decision to allow communion in the hand in the United States was not a wise one. The indult that allowed communion in the hand came through questionable circumstances. In 1969, Pope Paul VI issued an encyclical entitled Memorale Domine, Instruction on the Manner of Distributing Holy Communion. In this document, the Pope instructed the bishops of the Catholic Church that an indult, or papal dispensation to receive communion in the hand, could be obtained, but only after the bishop certified that this practice, then illicit, was in widespread use in their diocese. You see, after Vatican II, the illicit practice of receiving on the hand had sprung up in Belgium, France, Germany, and Holland. The Pope was concerned about getting a huge backlash from the bishops in those countries who had disobediently initiated communion in the hand. So in this document, the Pope strongly reiterated that the normal and preferred way to receive communion was on the tongue, but that if communion in the hand was a widespread practice in the parishes, then an indult could be granted to allow for that. In 1977, after two unsuccessful attempts in 75 and 76, Cardinal Bernardin, then president of the USCCB, was able to get through a vote permitting communion in the hand, even though they never certified that the practice of receiving on the hand was widespread. In other words, the bishops were to confirm that receiving on the hand was the prevailing custom, but they never did that. By obtaining the votes of absentee bishops, Cardinal Bernardin was able to get communion in the hand passed through the USCCB. Thus it came that communion in the hand was granted as an indult, in exact opposition to the detailed instructions of Pope St. Paul VI. Cardinal Bernardin and his followers had conquered a tradition that might have been 1,400 years old, one that was practiced in the very first Catholic Mass ever offered in America. In any event, we have now an indult to receive communion in the hand. We've had it for 47 years. And though there are many contributing factors to the decline of belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, it is clear that receiving communion in the hand has had a very negative effect. Receiving on the tongue is a much clearer sign of reverence. A recent Pew Research poll concluded that only about one-third of U.S. Catholics believe that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And the years following Vatican II have seen millions of Catholics depart the Church. Indeed, fallen away Catholics comprise the second largest faith group in the United States. Recently, I marked my 9th anniversary as a priest, and in that time, I can tell you that I've witnessed a lot of problems with communion in the hand. Let me just tell you about a few of them. At St. Joseph's in Columbia, a man took the host from an extraordinary minister, put the host into his suit pocket, picked up his cell phone, and walked out of the church. Since the host was just placed in his suit coat pocket, I don't think he was bringing communion to anyone. I do not know what he planned to do with the host, but I don't think it was a sacred purpose. Once, after Mass at St. Mary's in Georgetown, a woman blessed me out and said that she would never return to St. Mary's. She told me that she had tried to put her host into the wine, and the extraordinary minister would not allow her to do that. Well, first of all, this lady should know that after the priest has consecrated the elements, there is absolutely no bread or wine left on the altar, only the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. She should also know that except for priests, intinction is not allowed due to the danger of profaning the sacred species. In my 9 years as a priest, a dozen times or more, I've had to stop someone from walking off with a host and tell them that they must consume the host right then and there. It happened not that long ago right here in this parish. Within the past year, someone found a host stuck in one of the hymnals in the front of the church. Then there's the issue of the particles of the host. The church teaches that a particle of the host is still the body of Christ as long as the particle is big enough to chew. Think of the small particles and seeds that you chew in the normal course of eating. At times I place a host in the hands of a parishioner and there's a particle left in the hand that I'm not sure gets consumed. Sometimes people don't even notice, or they're not aware. If that particle is big enough to chew, it's still Christ. You may have noticed that I do not consecrate the big 5-inch host, which would be a lot easier to see in the back of this large church. I use the smaller, medium-sized host. The big host breaks into 24 pieces and generates a lot of small particles that must be consumed when the vessels are purified. It's better not to have to concern yourself with all those particles of a host. And this is just a partial list of the issues with communion in the hand. Cardinal Ulvera, a former prefect of the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments, wrote, "To receive the Eucharist on our tongue," Cardinal Ulvera said, "is to signify our humility before the Lord and to recognize that it is God Himself who feeds us. When we do so, we know that we are before God Himself and that He came to us and that we are undeserving." So I'm saying all of this to say, the church allows you to receive on the tongue or in the hand. I'm asking you to prayerfully consider receiving on the tongue. I know full well that for all of us, change is very difficult. I also know that change is possible. Don't feel like you have to rush into anything. Read the books I referenced, pray and reflect. It took me over 20 years to figure this out. Hopefully, it won't take you that long. And if you decide to begin receiving on the tongue, practice at home before you begin to receive on the tongue. You can use something like a wheat thin and practice in front of a mirror. Remember that I need about 1 inch of your tongue over your bottom lip so I can properly give you the host. So to conclude, I'm asking you to do some personal study of how communion in the hand came to be, and I'm asking you to prayerfully consider receiving on the tongue. J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of The Lord of the Rings, wrote to his son Michael concerning marriage. "Out of the darkness of my life, so much frustrated, I put before you the one great thing to love on earth, the Blessed Sacrament. There you will find romance, glory, honor, fidelity, and the true way of all your loves on earth, and more than that." Tolkien's deep love of the Real Presence was the foundation of his faith, which taught him to receive the Eucharist reverently on the tongue. In our second reading for today, St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day." What is one of the principal ways that our Lord renews us? Through the Holy Eucharist. May we reflect on the Lord's gift to us in the Eucharist and grow in frequent, worthy, and reverent reception of our Lord.